For members only, Golf Smarter number 413, published on November 29, 2013.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
How the Golf Board Works with Technical Director Mike Radenbaugh.
This is Golf Smarter.
Welcome to Golf Smarter for members only, Mike.
Hi, Fred.
How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm pleased to have you on and making this part two of the conversation about Golf Board. Our last episode, we had Paul Hodge, CEO. And, you know, it's nice to talk to a CEO and get the idea of the business plan and how the company got started. But I'm generally like, okay, fine. I want to hear about the technical side. I want to know, how does this thing work? I want to talk to people whose fingernails are dirty, you know? And so that's why I decided to have you on. I think your product is very cool. I think it has a tremendous amount of potential to bring in a new audience to golf. Hopefully they'll find out about it at golf courses that already have it, because I can't. Maybe there's some young Silicon Valley rich kids who want to buy one, but.
Right.
But, you know, either way, it's an awesome, awesome idea. How did your co-founder with Paul, how did this all come about from your perspective?
Yeah. So, one of the other co-founders, Blazian Polsky, he started building, these electric mountain boards. And he was using remote control electric airplane motors, if you can believe it.
Wait a minute. He was using those little remote control airplane motors to power a board?
That's absolutely right. So what's been going on in the... I know, it's hard, it's hard
I,
to
I
believe.
Can't imagine the board even moving at that point. It's not enough power.
And I think Paul mentioned in the last, you know, in your last podcast episode last week that one of the boards we built for Laird Hamilton goes 54 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And it does that with ease. It does that with sports car performance. It gets to 54 miles an hour faster than you can blink. And it does that, if you can believe it, using those electric airplane motors.
Wow. Well, how many, what are we talking about? Horsepower? I mean, how big are these motors? And how big, not little model airplanes that are like, you know, 12 inches across. We're talking big remote control airplanes.
Yeah, we're talking about, one-tenth scale, you know, RC airplanes. We're talking about a lot more powerful than something you normally see. We're talking about, you know, electric airplanes that go, you know, 100 plus miles an hour.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, with four of those on one of our original prototype boards, you're looking at, you know, somewhere around 12,000 watts of peak power, which is, you know, somewhere on the order of, you know, nearing 20 horsepower. And just like most people know, with electric horsepower, you know, you have that power throughout all the RPM range of the product. So that board had incredible low end, and it had tons of power, you know, up over 30, 40 miles an hour. So basically what we did is we took that, you know, extreme and, you know, super exciting, but also somewhat dangerous technology. And then we took it backwards and started from the ground up to make the golf board. Because the original boards worked really well on golf courses and they were a lot of fun, but we knew to have a consumer product, you know, that wasn't the answer. So, we scaled back, and we spent a lot of time and hours, with, you know, very skilled engineering team, as well as, you know, basically the four co-founders of the company, and all of us having experience building, electric vehicles, either being electric bicycles, electric motorcycles. But needless to say, everyone in our team early on had a really good foundation with electric vehicle technology. So things like lithium batteries, electric motors, motor controllers, and the inherent problems that people, you know, tend to think about, like poor battery range, overheating motors, you know, low quality electronics. You know, we already had solutions for all those problems. So in some respects, we were ahead of the game coming into building this golf board, because, you know, everyone had so much experience, you know, how do you say it? Overheating motors, blowing up, you know, electric mountain boards and batteries. So we knew what we needed to do to make this golf board, you know, a really fun, safe, and reliable product.
In the last conversation, Paul mentioned Laird Hamilton as one of the co-founders and inspirational movers on this project. Sorry to be stupid. Who's Laird Hamilton?
Yeah, so Laird Hamilton is the co-inventor of tow and surfing, and also one of the founders of stand-up paddleboarding, modern day.
Okay, I know stand-up paddleboarding, but what's tow and surfing? What does that mean?
If you've seen a recent Mazda commercial he was featured in, tow and surfing is actually when you get pulled behind a jet ski on a surfboard.
Oh, towing.
Yeah, tow in surfing.
TOW-IN?
TOE-IN. Yep, that's right.
Wait. TOE? You mean your feet tow or are being towed?
TOW. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's like toe in. I'm thinking of my feet pointing at each other. I'm like, what are you talking about? Okay. So toe in. I've seen those where, like a surfer who can only get to these ginormous waves has to do it. He can't do it just by swimming out like at the Mavericks, right? He has to be pulled out by a jet ski.
Yep, it's the only way you can pick up the speed required to catch one of those mammoth waves.
He started that, or he's just like an expert at it?
He was one of the original guys that did, he was one of the inventors of the...
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, like, he's a surfing god.
He's like a Kelly Slater,
Kelly Slater.
I guess he's
I don't get out much. I'm sorry. Okay.
He's the Tony Hawk of surfing.
Ah, Tony Hawk. He's a video game. No, he's a skateboard. Yeah. He's a skateboard dude.
Yeah, he's the Sean White. He's the Sean White of surfing, too.
Okay, now Sean White was a snowboarder who won an Olympic medal.
Yeah, and he won the Triple Crown in the X Games, which is a gold medal in skateboarding, surfing, and what's the third board for snowboarding?
Snowboarding, surfing, and skateboarding.
Yeah, so that's okay. Sean White guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got the triple.
So Laird hangs out with all these guys. He's in that crew.
Yeah, he's a super celebrity. You know, his wife's Gabby Reese, who's a model and ex professional volleyball player, Olympic volleyball player. They're just outstanding people, and they've just been a tremendous help developing the product, and tremendous supporters of us.
Wow. Okay. All right, so now I understand. So I'm curious, then, when you got this prototype board going up to 54 miles an hour with Laird, was he coming back going, faster, faster, I want to go faster?
Yeah, so the first board that we delivered to Laird wasn't the 54-mile-an-hour board. The first one we delivered to him, did roughly 30, 35 miles an hour.
Okay, he wasn't impressed.
He said it wasn't enough. So we went back to the drawing board. And, we've created the fastest, electric skateboard, electric mountain board known to man. It goes 54 miles an hour. And it should be noted that it goes 54 miles an hour up, pretty much the steepest hills you'll find on Highway 101, up through Northern California. So
it's 54 miles an hour uphill?
Uphill. It'll carry, it's got so much power, and since it's a board, it's only carrying, a human's weight. And the board itself, weighs under 60 pounds. The hills don't make as much of a difference because you're not carrying as much weight uphill as you would be in a heavier vehicle, say, a car or a motorcycle.
Well, I would guess that's one of the first questions that people are going to ask, especially up here in Northern California. I'm not talking about Texas, but, or Florida, but in Northern California, where you have a lot of hills to deal with. A couple of my favorite golf courses here in Marin County are strenuous walks because they're very hilly. I mean, there's one of them you have to take an elevator. There's an elevator that goes up the side of a hill.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, so that's awesome. That was definitely that's definitely something we took into consideration when developing this board, because for myself and, you know, a couple of our other co-founders, we grew up in Northern California too, and we, you know, we're used to experiencing golf courses like that where you're working hard to get up the hills. So people, that's a lot of, that's the first question we receive from a lot of people that see the board. And if I'm on a board, I really like to say, yeah, it sure does go up hills, and then find the steepest hill, you know, nearby so they can see me fly right up it. Mm-hmm. We had a 250 plus pound, a professional hockey player on the golf board.
Wait. There are no hockey players that are over 250 pounds. That's a football player.
He's retired. You should probably respectfully edit that part out. That'd be good, I guess.
We didn't use his name, but yeah. I'm glad we clarified that. All right. So you had this retired athlete.
Yeah.
Who's obviously got balance if he was a hockey player.
Yeah, that's right. And it'll take the, you know, our weight limit, our specified weight limit for the golf board is 270 pounds, including all your gear. You know, a golf bag weighing roughly 20 pounds plus the rider's weight. And we're very confident in that weight limit. So, for example, somebody 200 plus pounds with a full bag of clubs, I wouldn't be one bit concerned with them going straight up a hill nonstop for the entire duration of the battery charge. So it's not that the board's designed to go up a hill and then get to the top of the hill and cool off and then you can go up another hill. The golf board's actually able to just go straight uphill continuously until the battery runs out without the motor overheating, without the battery, you know, running out of power, without the motor controller cutting out.
I'd be more concerned about that 200 pounder going downhill after going full speed up the hill.
That's right.
Look out! Yeah,
so those guys,
because there's no helmet for these things.
No, there's not. But that's another great aspect of the way our motor controller works on the golf board, is that when you go downhill, there's the motor controller actually limits the top speed that you can travel. So it's not like a golf cart where it starts to go faster and faster as you go downhill, or a car in neutral. The motor controller actually electronically limits the speed of the board so that you can never get going over the maximum 12 mile an hour speed limit. So, you know, bigger guys traveling down steep hills, they don't need to worry about the board getting out of control, because it will limit itself automatically to 12 miles an hour.
Good to know. Let's talk about the, there's so many nuances, so many little pieces, of the technical aspects of this thing that make it work. And it's more than just the speed of this airplane motor. The remote control, I mean, that's the whole throttle, slow down, stop. That's all done on a remote control in your hand, correct?
Yeah, it is. And one more thing I should clarify is that the golf board in its current state doesn't use the remote control airplane motors like our early prototypes do. The actual production ready golf board uses an industrial brushed DC motor, and it uses two of them, one on each end, to provide four wheel posi traction for the board. So
it's four wheel drive. So it's mm-hmm. pulling and pushing all at the same time. What's the advantage of that?
Yeah, four-wheel drive was an absolutely critical feature that we focused on during our time designing the golf board for the last few years. Four-wheel drive allows the golf board to pretty much guarantee you traction on even like very steep and hilly terrain. And this is important because it eliminates burnouts that you would see. And I've even seen, you know, conventional, you know, two-wheel drive golf carts. You know, I'll see those carts even burn out sometimes on steep, wet terrain.
Mm-hmm.
And the golf board in that same terrain doesn't burn out. It just travels straight up hills, even in wet conditions. It was interesting. We were out at a course, and some turf professionals were out there, and they were actually testing the operation of the four-wheel drive component of the golf board. And they actually pulled out some, you know, microscopes and were checking the compaction and the way the golf board was, you know, affecting the turf. And they were
microscopes.
Microscopes, Yeah, so wow. Or maybe not microscopes. What are those? Just the
magnifying glasses.
Magnifying glass, that's it.
Stuff you used to burn ants with when you were a kid.
I was going
to
say that, yeah.
Oh, right. Cool.
Yeah. That's right.
Sick let's see. Kids. yeah, okay, so these guys were now inspecting the turf to see the indentation that the wheels were making on, from the golf board?
Yep, that's right.
And then
right.
They compare it to what, a push cart or a golf cart?
They're comparing it to both, a push cart and a pull cart. And we've been developing some hard numbers on that comparison for the last few months. And it's been really interesting to see the results. Because the golf board has four-wheel drive and then also these wide, 4-inch wide turf tires, the compaction is really low because the board's so light, but then also the way that the golf board, you know, reacts with the turf, it creates very little tearing because there's, you know, such a wide footprint. I'm not really sure how to say that exactly.
When you say wide footprint, that's because these they're 4 inches wide, the tires?
Yeah, yeah. They might be 3.5.
We can still visualize that's a fairly wide tire. Is there just a lot of tread on that too? It's kind of like a mountain bike tire.
Yeah, it's actually called a turf tire, and it's designed for the golf industry. It's designed to go on the front of ride-on lawnmowers. So the tire that we selected was, you know, it's originally destined to be used on golf courses.
Oh, interesting.
It's actually the side of the tire on the sidewalk. She says turf saver on it. It's a turf saver tire.
So now you got two motors going with wide tires, and the board itself is wide enough. So it just, between those, you know, the two wide tires and the wide board, it's really stable.
Yeah, it is. The test I always like to do with people is go up and pull up next to a sand trap or any steep incline where there's, you know, a steep, and go ahead and try to lean over downhill as hard as you can. And you'll actually fall off the board before the actual board tips over. So the board,
yeah, I know,
well planted.
Yeah.
Don't sell yourself short. You were really good. You were as good as I was for the first 30 seconds.
and 35 seconds is when I fell over.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm going downhill. Oh, no.
Yeah, you looked good doing it, though. It's okay.
Oh, well, that's nice. I'm glad you didn't get any pictures of that.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the battery power. How many charges, how many rounds can you get per charge, and how long does a charge take?
Yeah, So the golf board battery is very unique for a small personal electric vehicle.
Really?
Because it needs to carry a rider for 4 to 5 hours for 18 whole rounds.
Especially if they're 250-pound ex-professional hockey players.
That's correct. So the heavier the rider, the steeper the course, the longer the grass. So we had to take this into account when sizing the battery pack. So what we ended up choosing was a battery pack that's about the size of 6 electric bicycle battery packs. So we get people coming in saying, asking us about the price of the golf board. And some people are, amazed that we're able to sell it for, as inexpensive as we are. Some people are totally taken aback by the price. And I try to use the size of the battery as a good metric to kind of justify the purchase price of the golf board, because the battery is just incredibly large, and it's using the absolute best 18650 size lithium batteries. So these are the same type of cells that are used in most performance and luxury electric cars, like the Tesla Model S. And some of the top quality electric motorcycles. Yamaha actually just came out with an electric motorcycle line at the auto show this year, which is using the same battery technology that we're using here in the golf board. So we had to develop a battery that was sized correctly to allow any rider, no matter how big or small, how long the course, how long the grass, how steep the hills, to be able to comfortably travel a full 18 holes you know, without having range anxiety, without worrying about when they need to charge the battery next. It'll just work.
Where do you put the battery if it's that big?
Yeah, so the battery is actually stored in the tray along the base of the golf board. And we developed that tray so that it stays rigid, so that the battery's safely housed in a, you know, full aluminum housing. So this takes away a lot of people's, you know, fears about batteries catching on fire or any problems with, you know, damaging the battery from, you know, debris, branches, sticks, rocks from the underside. The tray of the golf board actually functions as kind of like a skid plate, and you can drive all over the place without worrying about damaging the base of it, because it is that, you know, solid hull of aluminum protecting the battery pack. So part of this was that we needed to develop a battery tray that was rigid to protect the battery, but we also needed to maintain flexibility and a suspension feel to the golf board. So that was one of the big innovations I think we had with this product, is we developed spring plate ends, which function as roughly 4 to 6 inches of suspension travel for this machine. So when you hop up and down on it, or when you travel over bumpy terrain, it helps to soak up all those little bumps you might feel. You know, a golf course is, you know, naturally very smooth and nice and a great place to ride. But for me, I grew up playing golf on a city course where, you know, there's definitely some areas where the turf's been worn down. There's a lot of potholes and ruts and skids, and especially for riders with maybe back problems or just looking for a little bit more comfort, these spring ends are a really nice addition to the product.
That was something I found really interesting while I was riding, is like, oh, I got to keep my knees flexible here. It's like, you know, that's why I fell over. It took me a minute to get my sea legs on, you know, because when I rode skateboards as a kid a lot, way before Laird was even born, but riding skateboards, you know, I had a good balance and I just understood what it meant to, you know, use your hips, your knees to do this and to be your shock absorbers. But the board has the flexibility and allows you to do all that and still feel like you feel safe.
That's right. I actually finally got a chance to go play 9 holes with my parents, with a golf board. I walked along while my mom and my dad traded off riding the golf board. And it's probably been 6 or 7 years since the three of us had been out to play golf together. And it was really a fun experience because, they get out and they're pretty active, but it was just a really good way to go out and have, you know, fun afternoon with them. And it was really cool to see my parents, who are, you know, both, 63 and 64 years old, you know, flying all over the golf course, smiles from cheek, ear to ear.
Well, that's because it's their kid, you know. It's like your mom was probably terrified because it's my son's. I'm so happy.
Yeah, she definitely was pinning it to win it. I guess that's what they say. She was going fast. I was definitely shaking a little bit, but she got the hang of it real fast.
Oh, now you're nervous. Mom's on it.
The last thing you want is your mom falling on something you built, you know, or helped build. But it was really confidence inspiring.
Well, actually, that'd probably be the first person you'd want to fall, because somebody else would sue your ass.
We don't foresee that as being too big of a problem.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. So with the battery underneath the board and the flexibility of the board and these big 3.5-inch wide tires, how much room clearance do you have underneath the board? So that it doesn't create a problem. I mean, you're not going to be hopping off of curbs on this, I would think.
No, actually, you can up tall curbs. So we've done a test where we actually will pull the board up to a curb and try to drive up the curb. You know, it's a good, you know, to see how things are working. But on tall curbs, it will bottom out. But on smaller curbs, it won't bottom out. It'll just climb right up like a little rock crawler.
But what about going down the curb? It doesn't.
It's the same.
Really?
Curve.
Really? Yeah. So it's a little Tonka truck.
It absolutely is. We're
cool.
Planning on making a short viral video of riding in extreme conditions. So we're thinking of going, you know, straight up, you know, a gravel pile up through rocky, rutted terrain. And then this is a little bit top secret, but your listeners might be interested in this. We were actually thinking about doing a truck pull with the golf board because it has so much low end power. We were thinking about hooking it up to a full sized 3500 class truck. And then, doing a pull with it and, pulling it along.
All right. Now you're smoking some really strange stuff. And if that happens, would you please let us know so we can see the video of that?
You bet. Yeah.
That is crazy.
We always try to pay attention, post some cool videos on our YouTube channels. Being a younger company like we are, that's one of our social media is definitely something we're interested in pursuing.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So now, okay. So let's go back to the remote control here, because we got into the motor part of it, but let's talk about the remote control, the functionality of it, the ease. Is it wired? Is it wireless? Give us some details on that, Mr. Technical Director.
Yeah. So the wireless remote has been probably our number one focus for the last few months. We put a lot of time and energy into the wireless remote because we wanted it to be like nothing else people have ever experienced before. There's remote controls out on the market for some electric vehicles, and they just don't feel confidence inspiring, and they don't have advanced features. So we wanted to make the golf board remote a little bit more special. One of the things we had to have included was the ability to have fleet management, which means that a golf course or somebody working in a clubhouse, more pro shop, we needed them to be able to manage the golf board. So we have a system integrated into the golf board remote and receiver on every golf board that allows courses to upgrade in the future to a system where they can actually see where each golf board is on the course, control its top speed, recognize when there's a problem with the board, and also just general fleet management and maintenance, so they can see how many hours each golf board's been used that year, or how long it's been charging for the state of charge of the battery. So basically it's readiness for its next rental.
That's really a great idea, because I can't imagine that they have that kind of computer diagnostics going on with golf carts.
Yeah, there is some movement in that direction. But
sure. But you think it's just a great idea for the operator themselves, for the golf course, to say, it's just an easier way to keep track of these things and how well they're doing.
Yeah, it is. And it's cool because we're moving, away from the conventional golf cart with lead acid batteries and more simple electronics. And we're moving a little bit more towards this kind of advanced system with lithium batteries, wireless remote and receiver, with integration to the clubhouse. It's kind of cool. It kind of supports this movement we're seeing in a lot of different avenues with technology. We're planning on maybe even having some sort of phone app to integrate with the golf board to see maybe keep your score, or keep your ride score, how good you're carving the course.
don't make it distracting any more than it is.
Right.
I mean, they're out there to play golf, hopefully.
Yeah. So a few more features of the remote that I think are really cool are there's an LED on the new remote that actually shows how much battery charge is left in the actual golf board battery, not just
the
battery in the remote. So that was one of the challenges that we were after, is that we didn't want people to have to look down at the golf board to see how much charge was remaining in the golf board. So now you can see right on the remote with a simple LED meter, how much is left. When a red light turns on, it means that you should start thinking about heading back to the clubhouse. Maybe that generally happens after 27 or 36 holes. When the red light starts blinking, then it means that it's going to start going into limp mode pretty soon, which means the power of the golf board will actually cut back to about 60%. But that power being cut back means that the golf board will have really good economy for the last 10 to 20% of the battery's remaining charge, so that you're able to limp back to your car, or limp back to the parking lot or the clubhouse or the cart barn, so that there will be no times or circumstances where a golf board is left stranded out on the course.
Good idea. And to reassure listeners about the safety of this thing and your security on it, I don't know if they all do this, but the one that I was riding, you have like little stirrups. What do you call it? Where you put your feet in?
Yeah, we call them just foot straps.
Foot straps. That's a great name.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a committee meeting to come up with that?
Yeah, that's a patent pending. That's a trademark name, so no using that. Yeah. But you can also call them bindings like you would on a conventional snowboard.
Right.
But yeah, so the foot straps we're using are actually more like foot clips. Since the board you rode, we actually changed the design a little bit. So now they are more of like a half clamshell. So they just grab the outside of your feet. So it's easier to step in and out of them in case you need to dismount quickly. And they're a little bit more free, so your feet can move around a little bit more.
Oh, interesting.
But the foot strap's really important because it keeps your feet from bouncing around on the board. And it also allows you to turn more sharply because you can actually keep your foot planted. And by lifting your toe up or lifting your heel up, you're actually turning the board with your body a little bit more sharply and effectively.
Is that the kind of thing that you guys learn when you see somebody who's riding it who's not skilled? I mean, like, you get Laird on there who just, it's second nature. And even for guys like you that spent a, childhood on boards and stuff. But for someone who's trying it out for the first time, they're not that comfortable. I mean, did you have to see them go, oh, you know what? We've got to change that.
Yeah, for most new riders, the foot straps make them feel a little bit uneasy. But I think, like Paul mentioned in the last episode, the learning curve's so fast that people soon kind of recognize how helpful the foot straps are. At first, it gives you a feeling of, oh, my feet are stuck to the board. But really, it's a feeling of I have more control of the board.
Yeah.
So I think the learning curve, I think it's even less than 5 minutes from my experience. It's really like, a couple accelerations for people will become comfortable. So maybe 30 seconds, 40 seconds, when people really it's kind of clicks for them. They don't need to be as scared because it is so easy to accelerate and decelerate and turn.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. How many patents you guys have on this thing?
Yeah, we've got a few provisional patents. Again, a couple finalized. The features that are really important here are the four-wheel drive posi traction system, which is something never before seen on a powered electric board device. And something I think Paul already mentioned last episode is our steering damper system, which allows the golf board to turn sharply, but you don't get that speed wobble feeling or that shaky feeling that you would get on a little conventional skateboard. So that really soaks up a lot of the speed wobbles you'd get normally. And then the actual board itself has quite a few innovations built into it. So we're definitely developing a nice little intellectual property portfolio, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that it works out so that you guys can continue to live off this thing for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important to protect
absolutely.
Intellectual. And especially with the one thing working in our advantage here is that the golf board is going to be very hard for another company to copy. Just because the time we put into development of this product.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
That a company coming over, say a Chinese company, they would have a tough time.
Well, let's just hope the big company comes along and buys you guys. I guess that's the goal, right?
Yeah, they have to be a pretty good company, though. We don't want to sell to just anybody.
Oh, no, maybe. Just the one who can write the check.
Yeah, maybe the Golf Smarter Podcast Golf Board.
There you go. The official Golf Smarter Board.
Yeah.
Or be bored at Golf Smarter, I think, is more more like it. Actually, my friend the other day says, you know what? We need to change the name of the show. It's going to be Golf Smartass.
I like it.
I don't.
Fitting.
Yeah. So as you're now pretend I'm your parents, right? As you're discussing with your parents, what is the one coolest feature of the golf board that you had significant contribution to that you like really wanted to show your parents?
I would definitely say the steering damper, the design. it's really hard to design a board that turns sharply. You know, it needs to match or be close to the turning capabilities of a conventional golf cart, but then also a board that feels stable when going in a straight line. So when we designed and invented the steering damper system in the golf board, that was a real big breakthrough for us, because we had a product that not only went up hills really well with the four-wheel drive system and the lightweight batteries, but we had a board that turned, you know, sharply and went in a straight line confidently without worrying about, you know, the board becoming shaky or loose underneath your feet.
Very cool.
And that was something my parents, you know, noticed right away, because, you know, they don't have any experience with board sports either. And they were able to ride it directly in a straight line, stop, slow down, make turns, you know, ride around the green.
When they noticed it, you were like, yeah, that was my idea.
Yeah.
Did you get to do that?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, cool. That's great.
It was rewarding. I was like,
you bet.
Hey, Mom, yeah, thanks for raising me. Look what you helped create.
Oh, that's awesome. That is fabulous. Well, to let everyone know again, I mean, clearly this is a very cool product, and I hope that, you know, golf courses all over the world get a fleet of these and just make you guys very comfortable. But as Paul extended this very generous offer in the last episode, the cost of the retail cost is $35.95. Is that correct?
Yep, that's right. Yep.
Okay, so $3,595. And they're available now. But the thing is, if you order online or give them a call, but when you order online, you got to make sure you let people at Golf Board know that you heard about this at Golf Smarter. That way, when you make your order, you will get, if you live in the contiguous United States, you're going to get free shipping. And if you live anywhere else in the world, you're going to get $200 off the shipping cost. And it's, you know, you don't get discounts on a product that's just coming out from a startup and things like that. So that is just so incredibly generous. And I hope that everyone seriously considers taking advantage of that offer and buys them. Come on, call these guys. Tell them you heard about it on Golf Smarter. And if you don't want to buy one, then be a sales rep for them. Just go ahead to you have 10 golf courses in your neighborhood? Sell it to all of them. They'll be happy to help you out with that, right?
That's right.
Awesome. Well, Mike, again, good luck, and congratulations to your parents and to you and Paul and Laird and Don as well. I'm just going to keep a real close eye on this, because I want to see huge success happening. Congratulations, man.
Hey, thanks so much, Brad. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. No, I mean it. Thank you. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I have a lot to be thankful for as this year comes to a close, and part of that gratitude is directed at you. Thank you so much for your continued support and all the kind words I receive throughout the year. And for those of you who get little to no time on the course during the winter, stay tuned, because I will be pursuing guests and information that will keep you sharp until it's time to dust the clubs off. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions about who or what you'd like to hear, please click on the Hey Fred button on the free Golf Smarter app for Apple or Android, or at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.